Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Lauderman Resource Podcast. This is show 122, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we go into the depths of a battle. We're straight up on the front lines of the battlefield with Madison, and she tells us her story of starting a pickup and delivery business from scratch. And oh my goodness, this one is a wild roller coaster of a ride. And I think you're going to get a lot out of this, but I think you're also just going to be engrossed in this story. And I think you're also going to love Madison because she's great. I cannot wait for you to meet her. In fact, you'll probably be seeing a little bit more of her around. So look forward to that. And real quick, before we jump into it with Madison and her story, I just want to let you guys know, man, so many of you guys have reached out about joining a mastermind group. And just in case you don't know, the Lauderman Resource Pro community has a ton of perks, discounts on stuff, unlimited access to all the tools and resources and everything that we have, all of that. A great, great community there where everybody's just there to help each other out. But one of the best things that I'm most excited about is the mastermind groups. And that is where we help you join up with a group of, you know, 4 to 6 people who are in a similar phase as you. And we get you guys together into a group and give you some guidance into how you can all help each other achieve whatever the next step of your goal is. If you're a current laundromat owner, that could be optimizing your laundromats or scaling up, buying more, or scaling your pickup and delivery or drop-off service. If you are looking to get into the business, that can be, that encouragement, the accountability, and the brainstorming that you might need help with to help you get that first deal under your belt. So we have got about every 6 weeks or so, we do a mastermind induction where anybody in the pro community who wants to join a mastermind group, we do a quick little call where I kind of introduce the concept of mastermind, give a little bit of groundwork, and then break you out into your first mastermind meeting with your group to introduce yourselves and get started. Again, we give you guidance on how to do all of that. Just wanted to let you know, if that's something that you have been interested in or you want to join a mastermind group, like I said, we do this every about 6 weeks or so. And August 23rd, 2023, August 23rd is our very next mastermind induction that we have going on. So if that's something you're interested in, make sure you check out laundromatresource.com/pro to check out the pro community and all the other perks that come along with it. But again, I can't tell you how valuable this is if you get in a mastermind group and you guys all commit to meeting together regularly, to helping each other out, to encouraging each other, keeping each other accountable, and brainstorming with each other. This year alone, I've spent 5 figures on a mastermind group myself, and it's returned me 6 figures already worth of value there. So mastermind group can be super powerful. It's one of the secrets to accelerating, accomplishing the goals that you've set out for yourself and, you know, succeeding in life, I think. So I'm a huge fan. This is included in the pro community membership, which is, in my view, the biggest bargain of the century. And we've got more coming up that's going to make it more bargain. So anyways, if you are interested in joining that, laundromatresource.com/pro, you can find that link and links to everything else we talk about, which is quite a bit today, on the show notes page, which is laundromatresource.com/show122. Or if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe and like button and then go down to the description where you can get information about all this stuff. All right, let's jump into it with Madison. I think you're going to love her, and her story is, it's so compelling. You're going to love it. All right, let's go meet Madison. Madison, how is it going? Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm doing wonderfully. Like I said, Beyonce is in town today. I can't go to the concert because there's so much drama in there, but I'm going to be bumping it on my Alexa device.
I was going to say, are you going to at least play some Beyonce at your house or wherever?
Absolutely. Okay. I am Beyonce.
Oh, all right. That's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. Sounds like an exciting time. Where are you? Tell us where you are. Like, where do you live?
Yes, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, the North Side.
North Side? Is that? I don't know anything about Charlotte, really. Is that the cool side? I'm assuming that's a cool side because you're there. So
no. I wish I was on the cool side.
You are the cool side. How about that? You feel me? Awesome. Well, I'm super pumped about this. Cannot wait to jump into it. We had a little chat right before we hit that record button, and I got to be honest, excitement levels have been growing over here just to hear more about you and what you got going on over there. So why don't you tell us a little bit of background about who you are? And listen, I'm just going to be frank with you. A lot of my industry is not known for being cool, but you seem very cool. So I'm curious how you got into this business with that level of cool. So who are you and how'd you get here?
Yes. Well, hey, everybody. My name is Madison Anderson. I am the founder and operator of Fresh and Mobile Laundry Delivery, servicing the Charlotte metro area. And I got into the industry in the pandemic. And just to let y'all know, I'm 24. So I don't know if I'm the youngest person to be on the podcast. Yeah.
Definitely,
but I'm going to claim it.
Sure.
Youngest person.
Yeah. And representing the young crowd, right? That's the other thing about our industry is we're kind of known for being older. So way to represent the youth of the nation over here.
Yeah. Yeah. The laundry industry is very old and white. No offense. But hey, I'm repping for the young black girls out here.
That's what I'm talking about. We are old and white. Yes. In fact, that's what my kids tell me. I am all the time, old and white. So, yeah. okay, wait. Okay, so, I mean, listen, you're young and you're cool. And how? Tell me.
Yeah, so I got into the laundromat industry after I had my daughter. I got pregnant my freshman year of college. I was on this track scholarship at Radford University. Got pregnant, whoop, then had to come to Charlotte, transferred everything. And throughout my whole life, I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. However, I didn't know which route I was going to go to until I did have my daughter. And I don't know, it's like you say every time on the podcast, it's like we don't wake up thinking like, oh, the Lord has blessed me with the laundromat industry and all that stuff. No, it just, I don't know what happened, but something happened and the laundromat industry came into my brain one stormy night or whatever. And since then, I had been doing lots of research. I say lots, but I'm going to be real with myself because we're going to keep it real today. I say lots, but it was like a good amount of research for little 19-year-old Maddie. Okay. But I did some research. I got into the CLA right when the pandemic started, became a member, read their white papers, looked at their data, got on some Facebook groups, which are real. Those Facebook groups are really something, but that's, we can save that for later. And, and I just really fell in love with the laundry industry and, the things that it could do for mine and my daughter's future. And when I was a senior in college, I started to take things a little bit more seriously, building out a business plan for a laundromat, which that later in life, I found out that that doesn't even matter. And I also started talking to sellers of laundromats. I am going to have a laundromat empire, like several other people that watch this and have been on this podcast. And once I was starting to talk to some sellers, they did not take your girl seriously. 20-year-old Maddie, they were like, this girl is tripping. She ain't got no money in her bank. And they were right. So I was like, okay. I'm going to take a step back. I graduated from college and I walked across the stage with my daughter. Shout out. And once I graduated, I was on go mode to start in the industry somehow. In the beginning of my laundry industry journey, a lot of people were telling me the best way to figure out or to get really, really familiar with the laundromat industry is to either work at the laundromat or start your own laundry delivery company. So my hard-headed self, and throughout this podcast, you'll find out how really hard-headed I am. Yes, my hard-headed self did not take any of that information seriously until I was put on my butt at the end of my college career with no laundromat. So I was like, okay, let me get off my butt, start this laundry delivery company. I took a month after graduating until I opened up my laundry delivery company, which is Fresh and Mobile, to get all the pieces together. And voila. Yeah, we had a laundry delivery company.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to dig into that. But, okay. First of all, love everything about that. I mean, I think it's just funny that you had your daughter and then you're like, yes, laundry. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of joke, but I kind of don't joke that kids are filthy, disgusting creatures. So maybe there was some like subliminal things happening there. That's like, I've got to clean this place up. This is, yeah. Yeah. So awesome. Congrats for graduating college and having a daughter and getting inspired to be in the industry. And yes. And trying to, dude, I'm like blown away that you're going to talking to owners. Like I do consulting calls all the time and I'm talking to people all the time, right? Who I'm like, you gotta, you know, especially right now when the industry is just so tight, there's just not a lot of inventory on the market. I'm like, you gotta do the things that other people aren't willing to do. And a lot of times that means getting off your butt and going to try to talk to people and networking and all that stuff. But you're like young and going out there and doing that. What was that experience like?
Oh my gosh. It was so nerve-wracking. And I don't know where I got the confidence from, but I got it and I snatched it up and I held onto it tight to go and talk to these sellers. But I will say that it did get really discouraging because like I said, they didn't take me seriously. And I mean, I don't blame them. I was 20, whatever. I was just 20 or 21. And I was coming to them asking not great questions. I got lots of no's, lots of people hung up on me. Lots of people were like, if you're not offering $1 million, then I don't want to talk. And straight boop, 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 hang up in my face. So, I mean, I don't blame the people that are scared to do it because it is scary. Yeah. But you got to make some shake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're dead on. It is scary and discouraging, like when you're getting that kind of response over and over and over. So what kept you going? I think a lot of people hit that wall there and they're like, I'm just, people are laughing at me, you know, like they're hanging up on me. Like what, like maybe this is not the thing. Maybe I'll go try to do something else and go and get that job or, you know, whatever. Why not you? How come that didn't happen for you?
Well, one, because I'm hard-headed and I'm also diligent. I will say that I don't give up on things until I really see that there is no way that I could win. And you guys will find that out deeper into this story.
So how did you, I mean, you're hitting all this resistance. How did you keep the hope? Like you said, you don't give up on things till you know, like it's not dead till it's dead. Stop breathing, right? Like, how'd you keep breath into that dream? Because like you said, you had no money, you're young, people aren't taking you seriously, people are hanging up on you. It's discouraging. How do you keep that dream alive when you're hitting those obstacles?
Yeah, it's all about purpose, honestly. If you'll give up more if your purpose isn't big enough, if it doesn't mean that much to you. And my purpose means the world to me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I think I've talked with a lot of very successful people in this industry, but also outside of this industry, right? And I've listened to a lot of podcasts and interviews with successful people. And like pretty much unanimously, everybody has hit these obstacles, right? And one of the big differentiators, I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but one of the big differentiators between people who are successful in achieving their goals and their dreams and the people who, I don't want to say it in a negative way, but kind of settle or like divert their dreams to something else and amend their dreams to something a little more manageable. Big difference is that hard-headedness, right? And like when you're growing up as a kid, a lot of times that hard-headedness is perceived as a negative trait and we try to like train that out of our kids, right? Because it's easier for us. And I'm, you know, I got two kids, so I know it is easier to try to train that out. But that's a trait that you need to find any level, I think, of success. So kudos to you for keeping that dream alive. I mean, you mentioned your purpose. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what's driving you? What's that purpose?
Yeah, so I don't want to get too much into it because when I tell people my purpose, they like look at me funny and they downplay my purpose and all that great stuff. Even people that have, people within our industry. Like, yeah. I said, the industry is old and white, and all white men are stubborn.
We are.
But even my parents, even my parents, they're like that too. But I have three purposes in life. Three points of purpose. My purpose is surrounds three categories in my life. And that's my daughter or any other child that I decide to have, my people, as in the Black community, and then my 7-year-old self who would be devastated if older Maddie didn't do what 7-year-old Maddie wanted to do, which was be an entrepreneur and own and, you know, save the world and all that stuff through laundromats. But not to get too deep into it, my purpose surrounds those three things. And that is what keeps me pushing, because I will say that I am really throughout my journey, I have been really hard on myself, even in college, younger than that. I'll like in my meditations, which I meditate here and there just to like calm what's going on in my little coconut head. But this alter ego that I like to call Beast Mode Maddie, she'll come up and she'll remind me of my purpose. She'll be like, it's a shame. What a shame that your people will never know who you are. It's a shame that your daughter will never see the potential that you can be. So that's what keeps me going, because I don't want to hear Beast Mode Maddie yell at me like that ever again in real life either. So I gotta keep going.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got goosebumps over here. Like that's so good. It's so good. And you know, and I think your point too of like, and your sort of like hesitancy to share that because of how other people respond. I mean, I think that's so common for people with big dreams, right? It's the whole, what's that metaphor? I don't even know if it's true, but it's like the crabs in the pot where the one crab tries to climb out and everybody's pulling them back in, right? It's like, it's so true. And it doesn't matter that it's people that love you and care about you and want the best for you. And a lot of times our responses to those big dreams and those purposes comes from that. Not always, but sometimes it comes from that even. Like, hey, I want the best for you. Go get a job, you know, or like, I want the best for you. You know, let's let sleeping dogs lie or whatever that saying is, you know, and like, let's calm it down a little bit. Let's back it off a little bit. And I love that you have seen that, have recognized that, have acknowledged it and have pushed forward. And even like, I don't know, like I could see where somebody would say, oh, that's kind of weird that you have, you know, you meditate, or that's kind of weird that you have like this alter ego that speaks at you from like a different perspective and keeps you motivated. But that's, I mean, listen, that's a common, like listen to interviews of successful people. Like that's a common thing that, you know, that successful people do, because there's so much negativity that can just overwhelm you when you have big goals, big dreams, big aspirations. And you need to find deep, meaningful things to help keep you going when you hit those obstacles, or when the people that care about you are discouraging you from, you know, doing the things that you're trying to do. And so listen, all I'm trying to say is yes, go. Yes. It's awesome. So I appreciate you sharing that though, because I think it's a big deal. And I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with internally, and it isolates you, right? It makes you feel alone. And so, you know, by sharing that, you know, I've felt all of those exact same things. I've had similar experiences, you know, with my family and my friends, and them thinking I'm ridiculous for starting a laundromat podcast and all that, right? Like, and it is ridiculous. I will acknowledge it, but, you know, but I think a lot of people will relate with that. That's what I'm trying to say. That was really long winded, but that's also kind of my MO. So sorry. Okay. Thank you for sharing that, your purpose. Now let's go back to, you're finishing up college. It sounded like you had a goal to try to get a laundromat by the end of there. And you were kind of disappointed. Was that the case?
Yes, that is exactly the case.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you handle that? I mean, the dream kept breathing. So how do you deal with, like, okay, I had a goal, I had a deadline, bam, I missed it. What does that feel like? And then how do you move forward from there?
Yeah. So I wouldn't have moved forward. Well, I would have kept trying to get in the laundromat if it wasn't for a mentor of mine who's not in the laundry industry at all. He's actually in the, he owns a smoothie company in Atlanta. And he's no longer my mentor. We had to lay him to rest, but he was the person that told me to start from where you are. Don't try to, since you didn't get that big goal, you got to start from where you are. And this, and here are the benefits from starting where you are. You'll build up your clientele. You'll get your brand, the name out there. And then you'll also get the money to get your laundromat potentially. So I was like, okay, that's not so much of a bad idea. And I've actually heard this, but when I started my journey into the laundry industry. So let me put my hard-headedness to the side and actually listen to somebody this time. And so I took a month to get everything together, all the cute stuff like the LLC, the logo, the POS system, the bags, all kinds of cute little stuff to start the company. And then I had a launch day. I had a launch party too, a virtual launch party so that all my friends and family could come and celebrate with me. And I also got my first client from there as well. So that was pretty dope. And oh my gosh, looking back at it now, that launch party was, and sorry to all the millennials and boomers out there, but that launch party was so ghetto. I'm a Gen Z person. I'll break down my lingo to y'all so y'all understand, but that launch party was so bad.
What was bad about it? I love the idea of a launch party. Because
it was just so, it was like just so ill put together. I was like Frankenstein.
What'd you guys do at the launch party?
It was a Frankenstein. Oh my gosh. That's why it was so bad. Cause it was like not well planned. It was kind of like, hey, come to this launch party to hear that I'm open. Like, hey, I started a business. Yay. Celebrate me. Buy something from me. Y'all can't use my services cause I got family in Barcelona. I got family in Tennessee, family in Greensboro, family in Virginia. So I'm like, all right. So I gave them a list of the services that I had going on, the products that I was using, a promo code, and then I also had a wrap. I made a wrap for this launch party, and I had fumbled it, which means I messed up. Guys, okay. Stay with me. All fumbled, right. Messed
I
just
up. Drop it on the ground like a football.
Yeah. But I had messed it up the first time I went. I did it, so I had to like bring it back, and I had wrote the rap like hours before the launch party, so it was already gonna be really bad, but I did it, and the people were lit, the people were having fun, okay.
Glad nobody caught on fire. And, I was a little concerned.
Right. But people were having fun with the rap, and that was that. And I got one customer that day. And then, but I did, so for the people that couldn't support me, like couldn't use the service, I gave them the option to buy a laundry bag or to sponsor a laundry bag. That's cool. So that I could donate it to the women's shelter here in Charlotte. So
that's awesome.
It was a piece of work.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I love that. And I love like, it's so like what I'm impressed by that is myself. And I think a lot of people, it's difficult to kind of put yourself out there in front of friends and family and say, hey, and even just like accepting support sometimes, it's just hard. I don't know what it is, but it just be really hard. So like, good for you for inviting them, and who cares? They're in Barcelona, they're, you know, some other state, who cares? Like, you know, giving your friends and family an opportunity to, you know, vibe with you while you're doing your rap. And look at, come on, I'm a little bit there. I can drop a vibe every now and then.
Hey,
no, but allow them to be a part of the process and to celebrate you and what you're doing. And so I love that. I mean, you've got to know that this is coming, but like a rap, like do we get to hear it or was that recorded? Or?
Oh my gosh. I don't even remember where I put that file, and I hope it's somewhere deep in my Google Drive.
A file is what I'm hearing.
There is a file.
I'm going to hold.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll put it on Instagram.
I mean, I'm going to hold this interview hostage until we have access to this rap. I mean, listen, we got to, if it's anything our industry needs more of, it's rap. So, yeah. So dig up that file after we're done and, you know, let me know where I can find it and I'll link to it in the show notes.
Oh my God.
It'll be great. So good. Okay. Shouldn't have brought up the rap. Oh, if you didn't brother. Want us to hear it.
No. Shame on me.
All right. So you had a launch party, got your first customer. Did people, anybody buy like the bags or donate the bags or anything?
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We had a lot of people buy bags, which was great. And, those bags really carried the team that first month of revenue.
Yeah. Well, and that's huge, right? That's like, so, and cause your business is most vulnerable in the beginning when you really don't have any customers or revenue or anything like that. So let's talk about that. Like, okay, you have a launch party. Now what?
Yeah, so that was the big question. Now what? Because I didn't, even though I got a degree in marketing, and you know, I'm very passionate about marketing. I love everything that, like the way that marketing is going right now. I'm like, oh yes. However, I was fresh. I was a baby marketer. Still am a baby marketer. I'm like a toddler now, but I was a baby marketer. So I'm like, okay. I see that Google. Since I set up my business page, they're giving me like $500 in credits, and also Yelp is giving me what, $100-$300 in credits or whatever. So let me do that. Let me do some Google ads, do some Yelp ads, and see if we can make something shake. And I did that with no experience. I don't recommend that to many people. If I were to do it again, and I will be doing this again because later you'll find out that I made a lot of mistakes, but not hiring an expert or a specialist in the digital ad space, that was like kind of my downfall. But I used those Google ads, I used those Yelp ads, got some customers from them, not too many. I got like a really bad customer too from my Google ads, but hey, I had to roll with the punches. To get that money up. And let me think, what else did I do? I did a little tiny bit of social media marketing here and there, but that was that I didn't have a strategy for social media when I started. So yeah, it was the Google ads and the Yelp ads that really carried the team the first month or so for when it came to marketing and bringing in customers. Yeah, I kind of dabbled into Nextdoor, but not too much. Yeah,
awesome. Well, and so how are you feeling? Like you're running these ads, you said you're getting some customers, but not too many. Like, are you feeling like, okay, mm-hmm. I can do this. I got some, so I know I can get more. Or are you feeling like, man, I was hoping for more. I'm a little nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was always hoping for more. And I was nervous the whole time because I didn't have my SOPs in order at all. Like, I did not think about how I was going to process anything. Like, I have my POS system, which I use Sense, by the way. And Sense back then was going through a lot. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord that Sense is where they are now. But Sense was going through a lot. So I had to figure out a lot of things on even how to process orders when I did eventually get them. I also had to figure out like the optimal route situation. I had to figure out how to get more customers. I had to figure out how to even deal with the customers that I had. It was very, again, ghetto. The operation in the beginning was very ghetto, not working well, not a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, which, I mean, listen, you're just starting a business, right? Like, that's nothing to be ashamed about. And in fact, I mean, I think that's where a lot of people start, you know, even when they're just buying a laundromat and taken over, right? It's like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, I got to do stuff to figure out what to do, right? So good on you. Keep going. Mm-hmm. So first of all, just want to clarify for everybody, just in case you're not following, SOPs, not millennial talk is business talk, which is standard operating procedure. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure we're all, unless it's also millennial talk. I don't know there.
No, there's not. And I'm not even, I'm a Gen Z. So I'm even deeper into the weird slang.
So, okay. So you're running some ads. I mean, what was your, I don't need hard numbers or anything, but like, what was your revenue looking like that first month or two? Were you paying bills or were you dipping into savings? Where were you at?
Man.
Credit cards?
That's, listen, the credit cards. So it was a mixture of a lot of things. Cause when I, at the beginning of the business, the only major bills that I had was like gas, POS system. And I didn't have the Wi-Fi to the laundromat that I was working out of. Oh yeah. By the way, I did not have a laundromat at all. I was operating out of my car. Yeah. I was operating out of a laundromat that I was looking to purchase. The owner, he had told me his wife was like, sell that laundromat. He was like, okay. Yeah. So I was working out there to build up that relationship, also to get some information on the laundromat industry. So I didn't have the Wi-Fi password at the laundromat at the time, so I had to buy a little hotspot. So that was like part of my bills. I don't think that I was paying the bills just yet from the revenue in that month, but in the next few months, I did start to pay bills, start to see a little bit of profit. We were very much in the red for a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, good for you for making it to break even within even just a few or even 6 months. I mean, a lot of times it can take, when I do consulting calls and people are asking about timeline for pickup and delivery and when it's going to be profitable. I mean, a lot of times you're looking at like 6 to 18 months, I think. So if you can hit that break even before that, you know, and I know you're bootstrapping it and you're the one doing it all and everything, you know, early on, at least. I don't know about now, we'll find out, but, as you're doing that, like that, I think you're on par with what, or maybe even ahead of the curve for what you should be expecting. So how did you develop this relationship with this laundromat in order to kind of get started and process the laundry there?
Well, I kind of just showed up. While in the pandemic, I forced myself to go to different laundromats in Charlotte to, you know, check out the competition and see what their operations were like. And the laundromat that I ended up working out of was the first laundromat that I did my research on. When it came time to start processing orders for Fresh and Mobile, I just showed up because I knew that one, it was a card operated laundromat, so that's easy to keep books. And two, it was the cheapest laundromat in Charlotte. So I was like, wow, what is a win-win right here? And three, the laundry attendant, she was only there from like Wednesday through Sunday after 2:30. So I was like, I won't even run into her for the most part. And whenever I did run into the owner, he would just ask me questions about the industry and give me tips on the industry. So he wasn't concerned about nothing that I was doing because I was paying his bills, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, especially early on, you didn't really have, you were just like a person doing laundry, essentially. It wasn't yours, but you were just kind of, you didn't have like a very big volume early on. Right. So wasn't like you were eating up all his machines or something. So awesome. Right. So you started doing this laundry. Are you doing 100% of everything at this point? You're picking up, you're doing the laundry, you're taking it back. Did you like that?
I am. I did not, but I knew it was what needed to be done.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. I'm seeing a lot of the right stuff lining up with you here. So I'm excited to keep going. Okay. So you start doing that. You're running these ads, for a little bit. How long did you run ads for? Are you still running ads?
No, I stopped running ads. I think I ran it for maybe a month and a half. Cause I saw that the Google ads, this is where they get you on those credits. It's like, you got to spend money to get the credit. Yeah. So I was like, oh, they played me. So I got to stop this Google. I got to stop these Google ads because it's running up my check. And so I stopped doing Google ads because I didn't understand that. So make sure y'all read the fine print of everything that you do. And I just stuck with the Yelp ads, which from Yelp, I got my highest paying customer. I got two of my highest paying customers. I had a family of five, which those are always the best in a richer part of Charlotte. And I had a Planet Fitness.
Oh, nice.
As well. So, yeah. So I was like, okay, so I could chill out on the ads for now because they had a lot of laundry. Family Five had over 100 pounds every week, which I was very shocked about. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if I want any more kids after that.
I told you kids are disgusting. I don't know.
They are. And then I had Planet Fitness, which they had me on call 2 times a week. Okay.
You're doing towels for them?
So I could just relax. Yeah, towels, mops, and dust rice.
Nice. That's a good score, especially early on. Get that one.
Yeah, and then after a while, after I stopped running ads, I started reaching out, or I started getting into other Facebook groups like Airbnb, real estate, general business Facebook groups as well, and started to see if any cleaning companies wanted to partner up to have them outsource their laundry to me. And that's where I got another higher paying customer or a partnership with the cleaning company. It didn't last long and kind of bit me in the butt after a while, but it was a good experience. And it brought in some good money as well. It showed me the potential that like short-term rental properties have when it comes to the commercial side of business. So after I stopped doing the ads, then I started going to the Facebook groups to see if any cleaning companies wanted to partner up and to see if there were any STR owners that wanted to use a professional laundry service instead of having their inexperienced cleaners who don't know anything about laundry. And also it takes them a long time to see if they wanted to outsource to me.
Yeah. STR, short-term rentals, Airbnbs, VRBOs. Yeah. Just make sure everybody's on the same page here. It's tough to distinguish business lingo from Gen Z lingo sometimes.
It is.
That's awesome. I mean, I think Facebook groups are a great way to generate leads and create those relationships. I think that's awesome. Just real quick, are you sending people to like a website when you're trying to get these leads? What's that looking like?
Yeah, I'm sending, with the cleaning companies, I would set up meetings, Zoom meetings. And for the SCRs, I would have them DM me. Well, later in the business, I had them DM me so I can send them like all the other stuff so I can get more information on the business. But for the most part, they would all go to the website, which my website was built by my amazing boyfriend. He's a web developer. Well, he's a lead developer right now at a VR company. So I was like, hey, baby, come do my website, please. Because the website that I first got, which I don't want to like hurt nobody's feelings when I say this, but the first website that I got, it was real trash. It was booty. Not good. So my boyfriend came and saved me like a knight in shining armor.
Yeah. Well, and especially for you, I mean, I think your web presence for any laundromat in any laundry service business is so important, right? But especially for you, you're entirely a service-based business. You don't have a physical location, and everybody's experience of your business is going to be primarily through that website, you know, until you're actually physically picking up their laundry and stuff. So super critical to not have a booty website.
yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm just going to drop them in every now and then and just, you know, try to channel my inner Gen Z-er. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So you got an awesome boyfriend with an awesome website designing talent, which is awesome. So you have been, you're getting some bigger customers now. You've got Planet Fitness. You've got some short-term rental stuff, some cleaning companies that you're working with. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty good momentum going. Are you still processing all that laundry on your own? And how was that? Was the workload getting high?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was processing all that laundry on my own. I I had to take some laundry home with me. Like after cooking dinner, after putting my daughter to sleep, I would have I bought a fold out table from Sam's before I opened up the business, just in case I had to bring laundry back. And I would be folding in the laundry room, in the living room when my daughter was asleep after, or when I had to come back home and she would just be chilling. I would be folding laundry in the living room, watching Cocomelon or whatever we were watching.
Wait a second. You said your daughter went to bed. So are you watching Cocomelon on your own without your daughter? Be honest.
Well, it depended on how much laundry I had brought back. See, if I had a lot, then I would have to multitask by trying to entertain her and folding. Or if I had a little bit of laundry, then I would just wait until after I put her to bed. Mm-hmm.
I want you to take a look at this face. This is a face of somebody not believing you. And I think you've just been busted that you love Cocomelon watching it.
Okay. So okay. It's yes. Here. Maybe I like to listen to Johnny every now and then.
That's awesome. I think that's awesome that you're just doing what has to be done, right, in order to get this business going. So where are we at in the story now, like timeline wise? Are we still in 2020, 2021, somewhere in there?
Yeah, we're still in 2022. So I opened the business 2022. I was doing a lot of laundry, had a lot of clients, a good amount of high paying clients as well. And then that was throughout summertime. Also, let me tell you, summertime, the laundromat air condition was broken and I was in there sweating bullets, standing by the dryers, folding laundry nonstop. Oh my gosh. It was crazy. But the AC got fixed eventually. Thank you, Jesus.
You get your point where you're like, listen, dude, I'm just going to pay to have your air conditioning fixed. I'm here so much. Like, let's just get some air in here.
Well, the thing was, yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I would talk to him about it. I would talk to the laundromat owner. Shout out to Rex. I would talk to him about it every day. And he was like, there's just a part that's on backward. Because, you know, in the pandemic, everything went to crap. And things got held up and all that great stuff. But eventually we got AC. So that was all during the summertime where I was bringing in a good amount of clients, high paying clients. And then all of a sudden, people stopped using my service. And I'm like, what's going on? Stressing out, trying to figure out ways to get more clients. And I lost two of the high paying customers, the Family of Five and also Planet Fitness. The Family of Five, they started using me because the mom, she went back to work and she was a stay at home mom previously. So she did all the cooking, the cleaning, all the housewife things, but she went back to work. So they were like, okay, we need a little bit of extra help. And then, towards the end of summer, they were like, I didn't see a order come in for them. So I texted and I was like, I know you're supposed to have a pickup today. There might've been some technical difficulties where your order didn't come in on our side. And he was like, oh no, my wife decided to stop working. So we're just gonna go back to having her do the laundry, but we will contact you if anything else changes. I'm like, okay, well, I really appreciate you using our services. So I'm like, oh, well, there goes like $100 a week down the drain at the time, $100 at the time down the drain. And then Planet Fitness, they also stopped using our services. And I remember it was the last delivery I did for them. And I didn't know it was going to be my last delivery. But the manager, she was like, this is the last time we're going to be seeing you. I'm like, oh, really? Why? And she was like, well, our machines got put back in. They were using me on a temporary basis as well. They were going through renovations while they were using me. And those renovations caused them to have their machines taken out. And renovation stopped, the machines got put back in, and I've lost another client. And things just kept going, kept like fumbling and fumbling and fumbling. The cleaning company that I had a partnership with, he got in an argument with one of his Airbnb clients, a six bedroom, six bath, like great, great revenue for me. He got in an argument with them, revenue stopped, client lost. He also moved out of Charlotte and was no longer using my services. And then things kept happening over and over again. And I was starting to freak out. And it was a lot. It was a lot going on. So that was fall, winter, new year, bad things or things just started going to crap back to back.
Oh, so like this is like over a few months that this is happening. It's just kind of like going downhill. That's hard and that's super stressful, especially you're like building this business and you're kind of depending on this income and it's all starting to go away. That's super stressful. Holy cow. What did you do?
So I tried to I was pulling a lot of strings at the time. I got a business loan, which was one of the biggest mistakes that I did. Probably like number three on a list of 10. One of the worst things that I did.
Why?
And, because I didn't have a strategy. I was like, I could do a lot right now with money, but I never sat down and thought about what I could do and, strategize on the things that I could do. So, it was kind of like an impulse, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this loan and I'm going to hire a VA. Little did I know that hiring a VA takes time. That takes time and training. You got to figure out what you want this VA to do. You got to find the right VA. I didn't do any of those things at all. Then I was like, okay, well also let me get a graphic designer to rebrand the business, which I had no business doing. I spent the money on unnecessary things where if I had to take that loan out again, one, I would strategize on which marketing avenues that I would put that money in, which marketing bucket I would put that money in. And I would have a plan, a full out Excel sheet, PDF document, Google document of things that I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it with this amount of money. So that was one downfall because I had to pay that money back and I didn't make any money to pay that money back.
I think that's a really common mistake is taking out money and not putting it into things that will directly bring in more money, right? And especially like just kind of put your mind at ease about that a little bit, because especially when you're losing money and things are spiraling and you don't know what to do and you're just kind of grasping at everything and you're like, I just want something to work, like redesigning a logo or like hiring, because you're like, I need help here. And so hiring somebody like this is like a natural thing, right? But like you said, it's a mistake. That money needs to go to make more money, right? Because you've got to pay it back and it's an opportunity to grow that business, right? And so so I don't want you to feel bad about that, because that's something that, you know, the pressure is mounting, you're losing income, you're feeling the stress, you're just kind of grasping at straws, and that happens all the time. So just wanted to point that out, because you're not the only, I've done that before too, and I'm sure a ton of people listening to this have done that and or would do that if they didn't listen to this right now, but they're listening to it and they're going to learn from our mistakes that we have made and not do that. Thank you for sharing it, though.
Yeah. Y'all, please don't be hard-headed. Yeah, of course. Don't be hard-headed. Please don't be hard-headed. Please.
Be hard-headed in
that's
the
like
right
me
way.
Telling
the right things, not the wrong
yes.
Things.
Yes. Yeah. So, like I said, that was one of the – that's what I did. That's the big thing that I did. Oh, I also raised prices as well. So, before – when I started the business, I didn't have – I didn't know how much a pound of laundry was going to cost me to do. It wasn't until I talked to Waleed, shout out to Waleed and Jessica. Yeah. And, but I finally reached out to Waleed, which I should have done in the beginning, to ask him about all the grid things. And he was like, I called on him to specifically ask about, commercial laundry. How do, set up the behind the scenes on that, like how to acquire leads, how to convert those leads, how to get information from those leads so I can customize a quote and all that stuff for them. So I asked him about pricing, which everybody asks about pricing. As you know, I've seen on the live Q&As, everybody's asking about pricing. Always. They ask about pricing in the forums. And I did that. And he gave me the same answer he's given everybody. You need to figure out how much it costs you to do a pound of laundry. And I was like, okay. This is when the moment where I'm going to stop being hard-headed. After I get off this call, I'm going to figure out all the costs that it cost me to do laundry. And I did. So I figured out that number. And then I was like, okay, so I started off doing laundry for £1.20, which I was like, okay, this is a good price. We got 2U laundry here. We got washroom laundry here. We got Leslie's laundry here. They all do their laundry for like $2, whatever. I'm going to be so attractive, so different, and make my price so low so people come to me. But no, girl, don't do that. Serve your customers in other ways. Price, don't do the price thing. So after I figured out how much it cost me to do a pound of laundry, I came up with a new price. And I started doing laundry for $1.90 per pound, which was not quite.
I was going to say, do you remember how much you figured out it cost you to do laundry?
Yeah, let me share my screen and I can show you my little Excel. Let me figure out which one it is. Here we go. The cost analysis. Let me know if you can see it. Can you see it?
It is popping up right now. And speaking of which, just in case you're listening on the podcast and not watching, go to the show notes page and I'll have a clip of just this part. So you don't have to watch the whole thing, but you can watch this if you want to see the visual of this.
Yes. Yeah. Or just come to the YouTube because we need to get those numbers up too.
Yeah. Come to YouTube and subscribe. Yeah.
Yes. So this was what I came up with my cost per pound analysis. And this was the average cost per pound when it came to me doing laundry. So about 32 cents. I will say that I didn't know how to incorporate gas and all that stuff. So I kind of just put that there. If you have any input on how to do that, please let me know so we can all know.
Yeah, well, no, we could definitely talk that for sure. It's tough. Yeah, it's a tough one to figure out for sure.
Yeah. So this is what I came up with. I did the detergent. I had Clorox wipes because I wanted to wipe down the table after every person's laundry that I did. I had the plastic bags, which I was putting customers' laundry in garbage bags when I first started. Clean laundry in garbage bags. Shame, shame, shame. Don't do that. Go to Cleaner Supply and get the nice plastic bags. They're cheap. They're cheap. I promise. And they look good. I had thank you cards that I would put in residential clients' bags that let me see. I think I have some right here. Hold on. I don't know if they can see my camera, but if you can, thank you cards that also has a QR code that sends them to a link tree that has like review us on Google, Yelp to get, what is it, $10 off of your next order. Also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all the socials and order again. So this is one thing that I do recommend that laundry delivery companies have is a thank you card to put right on top of your bag. So when they open it, they see, oh, thank you. And they're like, oh yes, girl, you're welcome. So I had that. I had stickers for commercial clients to put their bag tag or their receipt on the bag. We had sock sleeves, which shout out to Waleed again. We put some this is another thing that I did that I should have done. I should have done this in the beginning of my laundry journey, but I did it after things went to chaos. But I had sock sleeves that I put on customers' socks. They also had a QR code that led them to our Instagram page so that they could put a photo on their story or something and tag us, put our hashtag on there. So that's another thing that I put in the cost. And all customers got a free fresh and mobile bag, their first order after things went to chaos, something that I would have done in the beginning again. And yeah, that is pretty much how I got that number. Luckily for me, I didn't have to figure out how much water it cost me like some laundromat owners have to do. This is for the people that are doing laundry without a laundromat and using somebody else's laundromat. So this is how I got that number.
Awesome. No, I mean, I think that's awesome. And listen, if we can just talk you and me just for a second and just promise not to say anything, Waleed's actually pretty dang smart and really good at what he does. But I would never tell him that.
Right. I won't tell
face.
Him. Yeah.
Because my MO with Waleed is I always have to just, got to knock him down a pin or two. But he's actually really, really smart and really good at what he does.
So. Yes.
I like him a lot. Yes, no, but that's awesome. Is. I mean, and kudos to you for reaching out to, you know, finding a legend who's really good at what you're trying to do and you know, actually following their advice and doing the work there. So love it. Action taker. You're an action taker.
Yes. Yeah, I had to because things was going to crap.
Yeah. So how did it change things? I mean, you start implementing some of these things. I mean, mm-hmm. did business start to pick up or like what happened? Or no, is it still bad?
So it did start to...
You're still losing all your money. What's happening?
So, I mean, I was still losing money because I had that big loan that I had just taken out. Yeah. But I, with that money, I did do one good thing, which was run Google Ads again. Okay. Because they offered me another credit, and I was like, I know your tricks now, girl.
That's right.
I know your tricks, Google. That's right. So I'm going to use this loan money to put this ad out, and I'll also get that $500 credit, too. So I did, and I only got two customers out of that. But they were reoccurring, and it was at the upgraded price. I also put all of my previous customers on the upgraded price as well, with warning, of course. Always let your customers know what you're doing.
What was the response to that, by the way? I mean, you have that conversation, you're raising prices on your pickup and delivery customers. Mm-hmm. What was their response to that? Anybody have any issues?
I did not have any issues because I also backed it up with other things that they would get as well. So like the sock sleeves, their socks would not be, you really can't see that very well. Ooh.
There it is.
Like the sock sleeves. You won't get your socks just thrown in a bag like crazy. I also dropped the delivery fee. I was like, no more delivery fee since I'm increasing the prices. We'll just incorporate it in there as well. Also, I went from a 2-day delivery to next day delivery. So it was like a give and take, and people were okay with that at the time. Another thing that I will say is that I tested out the per bag price as well as the per pound price. And so I started my previous customers off with the per bag price. And then I was like, okay, we can't do the per bag price no more because that was too much of a brain strainer for me when it came to calculating the profit margin and all that stuff and really finding the value in that. But everybody was okay with it for the most part. If they weren't, I can't remember.
Okay, so you have run some Google ads, you've raised your prices, and you know you're trying to get that ball back rolling. Did you feel like you staved off the free fall that your business was feeling like it was going in and kind of got things a little more under control? Or how are you feeling at this point about everything?
No, I still didn't get things under control because I only got two customers from those Google ads. Luckily everybody was on the new prices. But that still wasn't enough to, one, pay back the money that I just took out irresponsibly. And then also try to hold up what I was trying to save with the loan. So I started doing more, I started reaching out more on Facebook, in the Airbnb groups that I was in. I started dropping laundry tips and tricks, to try to generate leads that way directly through the Airbnb, to the Airbnb individuals in the area. And I got a lot of calls, a lot of DMs, a lot of great stuff. But when it came time to like, hey, can you fill out this? Can you fill out this request for quote, fill out this information so I can give you a personalized, customizable quote and all that stuff, people flatlined me. They weren't moving as fast as I needed them to. Also at the time I was working on a social media strategy, which I should have been doing in the beginning, but that wasn't pulling in as much awareness and engagement as I needed it to. I got one customer from my social media strategy. And she was reoccurring as well. But this is a sad story. This is where the story kind of hits the fan. But I had to shut the business down. And I recently had to do that in April. So, hey, as like I could have started my intro off like, hey, I'm Madison, 24 years old, and I failed my first attempt at the laundry industry. So
that makes two of us.
That's where we are now.
You too. Yeah. So, okay. Well, you just weren't able to generate enough revenue. So you just had to shut it down.
Yeah, I was trying to do so many things at that time, cold calling small businesses. But my mistake was with the cold calling is that I was calling nail salons and hair salons. And most of those shops had washers and dryers in their facility. And also, I don't know anything about cold calling. I could barely call my doctor to set up an appointment. Yeah. So it was like me being on the phone with somebody trying to ask them for ask them to use my services. It was just wasn't gonna work out for me at that time, at least. What else was I trying to do? I was also trying to reach out to small businesses via DM as well, cold DMing them, which was very scary. Because I don't want them to think that I'm like a scam, because there's a lot of scams going on in the social media world as people asking for crypto and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not a part of that. I'm like, I will drop off bags for you at your store, at your shop, at the gym, at the salon, whatever. And then I can come pick up the laundry the next day. People left me on scene. People didn't even see the DM. People did not care what I needed or that I was trying to service them. Yeah, what else was I doing? I can't remember. I was doing a lot, and I can't remember. I think I started to try to apply for some grants as well, but that didn't last long.
Yeah. So, you're hustling. Yeah. You're trying to make it happen, but you had to shut down the business. So,
yes.
Okay, so, where are we at now? Is the dream dead?
No, it's not dead. Okay. The dream is not dead. The dream is on pause. And it's been on pause for going on 3 months now. It was really hard. It was a heartbreaking decision, but I will say that I'm hard-headed and I am diligent and I know my purpose. And I did what I could, what I thought was enough at the time to keep the business going and not to give up until the horse was dead. And the horse was dead. Well, so,
yeah. Yeah. Don't beat it. Yeah. Horse,
so, right. And I was beating that thing.
Yeah.
I was beating that dead horse. Like, wake up, yeah. Wake up.
Yeah. Well, there's a fine line between beating a horse and trying to give it CPR, so, hey, you can try to give a horse CPR. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. My horse was out of commission.
Yeah. So, well, talk to me about how does that feel? Like, obviously it doesn't feel good, right? Like, you've been trying to do this business, you're hustling, you're making it happen. As you've been talking, I'm like, yes, that trait, you've got it nailed. That's going to help you succeed. That's going to help you succeed. And then you just slam me with the heartbreak of I didn't succeed. And I just, mm-hmm. I feel that punch in the gut. Like, I've shared this before, but when I bought my first laundromat and it was not going well, and I would just hear this 95% of laundromats are successful. And I'm like, how am I in the 5% that's not succeeding here? Like, it feels horrible and it feels like a punch mm-hmm. in the gut. But, can you take us there a little bit? Like, you have these big whys, these big purposes, that's driving you to succeed. In what you're trying to do, and you have to come to this realization that, okay, this is not it, at least not right now. Where does that put you? Like, where's your headspace? How's your heart feeling? All that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember the day that I had to make the decision. I was driving. I was just having a really, really bad month, week. March and April. Not good for me. And the day that I made the decision, I left my house. I left my boyfriend without telling him, I'm going out, whatever. He has my location. He knows where I'm going to be. So I'm like, I'm out of here. Throughout my entrepreneur journey, I recorded any time that I felt discouraged or any time that I felt good. I had a old school recorder handheld that I would talk into every night to just debrief my mind so I could have a good night's sleep. But that day, I went out. It was midnight. I drove around North Charlotte, Huntersburg, Concord area, for those that know the area, that know North Carolina. And I was just on my recorder and I was like, I failed. I can't believe that this is where I'm at right now. I gotta shut down the business because at the time I knew that I was a problem. I can't blame it on anything else except for me. I was like screaming on the recorder. I didn't do what I needed to do at the time that I needed to do it. I failed. It's all my fault. I should have done this, should have done that, should have done that. And now we're here because of the mistakes that I made, the decisions that I didn't, the decisions that I made, the decisions that I decided not to make. And it was hard. I was kicking, I was screaming, I was crying. I was hitting the steering wheel really hard in the parking lot of Target, a super Target at that, a nice Target. And yeah, so that I was like, okay, I can't be a crybaby forever as much as I want to. I can't be depressed forever. I've come across hard times. Like I got pregnant when I was 18, freshman in college, a few months into my college experience, take it away. So I'm like, okay, I've been through hard things before. All we got to do is just re-strategize and actually strategize this time. And I'll just have to start looking for a job. Thankfully, I do have a degree. Thankfully, I did have some marketing experience with my mother. My parents are real estate investors, and I worked for my mom a little bit as her marketing assistant. Thankfully, I have a great personality. I have lots of customer service experience. Thankfully, I learned a lot as an entrepreneur. So now it's time to get a job to pay that money back. You borrowed a lot of money and they're going to be knocking at your door, taking your car, doing something. And so you can pay that money back. So I'm like, okay. So the day after I made that decision, I put it on social media that we were shutting the business down at the end of April. We are still taking new customers for now, but just know it's not going to be long term, but we will be shutting down temporarily until further notice, all that great stuff. So the day after I made that post, I went ahead and started applying for jobs. And I'll be real, I've been applying for jobs for a long time and I've had zero success. Lots of rejection emails. It's crazy. But I mean, from the rejections that I got in the business, this is no big deal. And yeah, so the goal is to step into my marketing career. So one, I can learn more about marketing because they, spoiler alert, they don't teach you a lot in college when it comes to marketing, especially the way how fast marketing is moving right now. Right. It's crazy. It's crazy out here. So the goal is to right now, the goal is to get into a good marketing position with a good team so I can know what that feels like, because I was an entrepreneur all by myself. And I've been an athlete all my life too. So I've been a part of a team. I love that feeling of being a part of a well-oiled machine. So that's what I'm looking for now, so that I can experience that, learn what a good team needs, learn what a good leader needs from a higher up. And then also get some money to pay that money back, and then to build some money up so I can open up Fresh and Mobile 2.0 or Fresh Laundromat or the Fresh Kingdom, Fresh Wash Kingdom of all of North Carolina. So I can get the ball rolling again, because the goal has not died. She's just in a beauty sleep right now. She's sleeping beauty. We need to wake her up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate you sharing all that. And so that process, I know you're even still kind of in the middle of it right now, so it can feel like really fresh. But I love that you brought up like, hey, right in the beginning of college, I got pregnant, changed all my plans, you know, and I don't know what feelings you were feeling there. But, you know, it can feel a lot like my life is over. I know. But, you know, I think it's just I'm glad you brought it up, because I think it's a beautiful picture of sometimes our biggest failures lead to the best things in our lives. Right. Mm-hmm. And out of that, you got your daughter now. And, you know, I think about, you know, failing in my laundromat in the first one too, and like just the pain of that and embarrassment and, you know, all that stuff that I was feeling at the time. But because of that, you know, we're here talking, you know, we wouldn't have a podcast if it wasn't for that. I've met so many awesome people, you know, because of that. I love doing this stuff. I love, you know, talking to people about their experience on the podcast. I love doing Q&As with people, you know, just all, I just, it's so good. And it all, none of it would be here if it wasn't for the failures, right? So, you know, I know it's still like very fresh right now, and hindsight's 2020. You know, that's a thing for real. And when you're in the middle of it, it can feel like it's just swallowing you up. At least it did for me. But I truly believe that when you, I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself because I still go through it. And a lot of people, I think, when you, you know, say, okay, that didn't work. It's not a failure, right? It's not a failure because like you said, you've learned so much, you've grown so much through all of that. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the 2.0 version of your business or whether you end up going a completely different direction at some point in life, like this is going to serve you in the long term if you let it, right? And so I mean, I just appreciate you being willing to come on. And I did want to ask you, like, okay, look at, you're coming fresh off of having to close down your business, and here we are. You know, you said you want to come on the podcast and share your story. So I'm curious, like, why did you want to come share this story with people?
Yes, I was very hesitant the first time that you emailed me from the Sense. Was it? I think it was a Sense Q&A. I think they were talking. We were talking about maybe finding good employees or something like that. I can't remember, but it was months ago. So I was like, yeah. And I emailed you. I was after you emailed me saying that I think that you are operating without a laundromat. I would love to have you on the podcast. It would, I would love to hear your story. And I emailed you and I was like, well, just starting off, not very successful. Don't know if you want to hear my perspective, but here I am having, I've shut the business down temporarily. And I wanted to come on. I was so eager to come on because I want people to know this side of entrepreneurship in general, but since it's us, the laundry industry for sure. Cause I think every perspective is very important. I definitely have gotten blindsided by all the glitz and the glam, the shiny things like, oh yeah, you can make X amount of money in 30 days, in a week, in a year. But I want y'all to hear a real story. I had to shut my business down because I was blindsided by those shiny. I did have shiny object syndrome. I was on a lot of cool new things that popped up in marketing, that popped up in entrepreneurship in general. So that's why I was so eager, because I wanted people to know, especially us laundry folk, to know a real story. And then also I have a long list of things that are going to prevent you from making the same mistakes that I did. So you don't have to be in my position. There's not a day that goes by that I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to get back in the game. Let me back in the game, coach. I learned so much. I got so many different plays now. But the coach is telling me like, no girl, you got to sit on the bench until it's time. So me getting out on the court, my version of getting out on the court is telling everybody the mistakes that I made and the lessons that I've learned. So y'all don't have to be on the bench with me.
Well, listen, I mean, I think that is like, that's like the highest level of, you know, serving other people. Right. And coming and sharing, especially while you're still in this vulnerable phase, right? You haven't fought your way out of it yet. Right. That's the hardest time to share. It's a lot easier. It's still hard to share your mistakes and your failures and all that stuff after they're long over. It's still difficult to do that. But when you don't have resolution, right? You have not reopened your business yet. You do not have you have not paid off that loan that you took. You don't even have, you know, the job yet that you're searching for right now. Right. And so that is when it's the most difficult to share that. But, you know, I appreciate your willingness to kind of come on and share all of that stuff with us to help all of us do better. Right. And like one of the core, the reason I started the podcast was I genuinely think that we're all better when we're helping each other out, working together. And you saw that when you were working with a lead and he was giving you really good advice. Right. And, you know, and here you are, you know, saying, hey, look, I don't have a huge success story to offer you to tell you how to do it, but here's what I do have. Right. And that's huge, man. And again, like I just see thing after thing after thing, character trait after character trait after character trait in you that's gonna, I mean, you'll be fine. Like, listen, I know that it may not feel like that all the time. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be more than fine. That empire is coming your way. I will bet money on that, because I just see all the right stuff in you. And so don't let this set you back. And for anybody else listening too, like, you know, this is like the biggest fear, right? Like, this is why people mm-hmm. don't go. This is the biggest fear, because what if I buy a laundromat or I start a business and it doesn't succeed? Guess what? Life goes on, right? Like, life goes on.
It does.
You learn a lot. You grow a lot if you allow it to, you know, to teach you something, and you allow yourself to grow through it. And man, so it's so awesome. I try not to talk this much, but I'm talking a lot. I just think so highly of you, and I'm just like blown away that you came on to share your story. And I think it's so awesome. So I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you. I was really shocked that you still, like, I don't know how much research you did on me and Fresh and Mobile. So I was like kind of shaking in my boots, like, oh my gosh, he's going to find out that I'm like not successful and he's going to not want me on the podcast. And I'm like, okay, girl, take a deep breath. We're going to get there when we get there.
That's right. We all do. It's true. And it is like, you even mentioned this, right? Like, there's this pressure to just be successful, be a millionaire ASAP, have a successful business ASAP. And it just doesn't work that way. Like, almost never. And so don't get sucked in. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. Me too. Like, I get sucked in this too. Like, don't get sucked in that it's not going to be a lot of work, or that you're not going to experience failure, or that there's not going to be obstacles along the way. You know, like, don't get sucked into that stuff, because it's a lot of work and it takes time and it takes effort. And if it didn't, then everybody would do it and we'd all be, you know, rolling like Scrooge McDuck, you know, but it does. And it's the people who are able to stick with it and persevere and apply the hard headedness in the good ways, right? In the good areas, who have a shot at eventually finding your way. Right. And that's not even a guarantee. But you know, listen, like I said, I would put money on, you're going to be fine. You're going to have that empire, whether that's in the laundry industry or wherever. Okay. So we do have a couple segments I want to get to still, but I wanted, anything else you want to share about your experience or anything else you want to share before we get to those segments?
Well, let's get into the segments, because all the beans are going to spill in the segments.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start off with this. We got a segment called Secret Sauce, and this is, you know, for people. Well, and we could talk about people who are doing a pickup and delivery, whether they have a laundromat or not. Listen, you've already shared a lot of the hard lessons, but I know you've also learned about some of like what works and stuff. So what's something that you found that was working pretty well for you, in your pickup and delivery business that you think other people could benefit from?
Yeah. So one thing that I think that worked really well was definitely, I do think that the paid ads worked really well. You just got to have you either got to know what you're doing with them, or you got to have somebody know what they're doing with them. Cause that is very, I feel like, you said this in maybe somebody that you were interviewing said this in a previous podcast episode. Laundry delivery is still new. A lot of people are really in shock that people can do their laundry for them. There's a lot of mommies out there that are up to their necks in dirty laundry that need our help. So they're not going to just come across us by accident. They're going to type in laundry service, or they're going to be scrolling on Instagram and come across one of us or somebody talking about the laundry service. So I think that Google ads, definitely be spending a good amount of money in Google and Yelp ads so that we can, our brands can be put in their faces. Also when it comes to social media, I do think that social media is important. But y'all, and y'all cannot get lazy with this, because I know us and I know y'all. We cannot just be putting up static posts of dirty laundry and say, call us now. It's got to be real. Short form content is key right now in the social media space, and we cannot get lazy with that. So there are there are several different ways, different social media strategies to help us with that. Social media does take a lot of hard work. Anything takes a lot of hard work, takes a lot of work. But we just got to do that work. So that's the two things that I would say. So Google and Yelp ads, and then have a social media strategy that's not static posts. It's got to be short form content.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Going back, like if you were to go back and just start all this over, how would you do your ads differently?
I think that I would do more of the video ads like that you see on YouTube. I think that I have seen some laundry services use the YouTube ads. Hamper is one of them. So I would definitely go that route. I know that 2U Laundry has done a video ad on Facebook, and I know that they also do ads on social media that way too. Same with washing laundry. But they're all static posts, except for that one that I talked about that I mentioned that 2U Laundry did. But theirs was very elaborate. It was very nice, well put together. They probably spent the good money, a good bag on that one. But yeah, shout out to Alex. So yeah, I would go the video route. I mean, that's just for me because I'm a visual learner and visual explainer. And I feel like, especially if people are on YouTube, they'll feel the same way and they'll be open up to a whole new world.
You dare close your eyes. No, I love that. I mean, I love the idea of video ads for you because you're great, you know, on camera, and that life really like comes out of you. And I think video is one of the best ways for people to kind of get to know you, and that whole no like trust mm-hmm. factor, right? It really comes mm-hmm. out in video, and it's hard to get that in, you know, text ads or static ads. So awesome. Love that. Just curious how you would do it differently. Okay. So we have another segment called Pro Tips. Let's keep it with like, hey, if you're going to start a pickup and delivery service from scratch, you got anything you want to make sure people know, so maybe they don't end up in the same situation, right? How do you, what do they need to know before they actually get started?
Yes. So I have a long list, so we're going to be here for a while. One, the first thing go to the bathroom, that I just keep would talking, say,
and I'll be back in a little bit.
Okay. I got you. I got you. So before you get into the laundry industry, definitely do your research. I know that there's a lot of people that say that, and it's definitely easier said than done because you can't really just Google a lot of these things. You have to use an analytics type of situation. At least, thankfully for me, since I was still in college, I had access, and I was in school for marketing too, so I had access to some of the analytical tools that marketers use when it comes to like heat maps, all that great stuff when it comes to population, income, stuff like that. So go on Fiverr. There are people that will do market research for you, pull in some demographic stuff for you for your area. So that's the one thing that I would say for people that are thinking about getting into the laundry delivery side of things. Definitely do your research to find out which areas are best. I didn't do that, and I made the mistake of making my service radius too wide. I tried to compete with the big dogs, 2U Laundry and Washing Laundry. I was like, hey, if y'all could do it, I could do it too in my little Ford Escape. But no, ma'am, I could not. And I didn't find that out until things went to crap and I was losing lots of money. So don't do what I did. Do what I'm telling you to do now. Do your market research, find the most affluent areas in that are around you and service those areas. And I don't know, this is for people that are thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Think about that, about the most affluent areas. And also find a good laundromat if you're going to operate out of a laundromat, if you're not doing the laundromat route. Or make sure that you can do whatever you need to do in your house. I never got into outsourcing laundry to other laundromats, but that's another thing that people could look into to see what's going on with that. Another thing that I would say to people that are looking to get into the laundromat and the laundry delivery side is definitely figure out your cost per pound all the way before you do get into the industry. And, because that was like one of my weak points was I was priced so low that I never really broke even from the things that I had started the business with. I just broke even on the bills, on the monthly business bills. So those are the two things that I would suggest. Do market research, find out the most affluent areas, and then also do your cost per pound analysis ahead of time. Oh, third thing. Third thing is to have your processes together for commercial laundry as well, because they may come out at any time. You want to be prepared and professional about it and have your strategy down. And I could share my screen again to share my process for that as well. So I have before I was just guessing on commercial laundry and like how to quote them and all those things. So I was just like giving them a price. It was really ghetto. It was really bad. But don't do that. Do what I did in later in life, later in the business, which was have a scope of work questionnaire. So if commercial clients aren't interested in you, or if you are reaching out or want to specialize in the commercial industry, have a questionnaire built out. Figure out how they heard about you, their name, company's name, email, so you can contact them and all that stuff. Figure out which industry they're in. What all needs to be serviced. That'll help you figure out the workload that you'll have to deal with. Same with the approximately how many bags, pounds, whatever loads that need to be done with laundry, because they're not going to know. Our customers don't know how many pounds of laundry they're doing. They only know it by load for the most part. So that'll also help you out, figure out how you want to price them. If they need their laundry folded in a special way, like some Airbnbs or some nail salons, they may need their towels folded in, I don't know what, in flamingos. You got to figure out if you got to do that so you can charge extra for that. Charge extra for the flamingos. Figure out what products they want to use so you can, that goes back into the pricing as well. And then also that shows them all the options that you have for them, which makes you look better as well. Just get as much information as you can from them so you can price them correctly. And these are all the questions that I have. And if you guys want that, we can link that. We can link that. Or you can DM me and I can give it to you. And then another thing that I did to make myself seem very professional. Let me see. Where is it? Right here. I had a nice proposal built out so that they know that I was a real deal. This is just, I like to be professional. I will say that for the most part, even though it was just me operating and I was operating out of my car, my customers didn't know that. My customers, in my customers' minds, I was just as good as 2U laundry and washroom laundry. And that's all that matters. So I like to keep that name up, that reputation up there. So I made sure that everything was nice, neat, and professional, so that they knew what they were getting and so that I knew what I was getting as well. So this is the little proposal template that I had. Oh, look at her. Isn't she so cute, y'all? So cute. And those are three things, right? Let me think. Yeah, we'll stick with the three.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That was a lot of really great stuff. And then we'll have the link in the show notes to that questionnaire if you want to take a look at it. All right, last little segment is, do you have any resources that you recommend to help people grow themselves, their businesses?
Yes, my number one resource, and it's not you. I'm sorry, Jordan. It's not you.
I'm just gonna.
It's not Dave. It's my main man, Waleed.
Oh, no, you can't do that to me. I mean, I'm okay with it not being me. You can't make it Waleed. Come on.
I got to shout out my dog. That's my homie, Waleed, at Wash Weekly. Definitely tap into his newsletter.
Yeah, sign up for that
every Sunday at 10.
Comes out on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You got to sign up for it. He calls himself the Laundry Pirate on LinkedIn. I love it. Definitely sign up for his newsletter. Yes. But you're not going to hear any of this episode because I have to just scrap everything now because you just recommended Waleed over me. Come on.
Well, everybody knows that you're the number, you're the ultimate resource. Like we said in the beginning, we gave Jordan the title of MG. I called him the OG of laundry podcasting, but he said he was the MG. Yeah, so yeah. Everybody knows that you are the MG.
I will also endorse your recommendation and say, you know, Waleed, one, do it. Love him.
Yes, all his information is great. Also, reach out to him because he didn't charge me to talk to him. I don't know if he's not going to charge y'all. I don't know if it was just me. And he was like, yeah, I'll do it for the free.
You know what? Waleed will do it for free for everyone. I will link to his personal cell phone number so everybody give him a call. That's what you get, Waleed.
Yes.
For surpassing me in the number one resource. I don't like that. So you're going to pay for it.
That's so funny.
I'm just kidding.
1-800-877-COPE.
Yeah, COPE.
Yep.
That's right. That's hilarious.
But that's my number one resource is Wash Weekly. And also just reaching out to Waleed on LinkedIn. And he will respond, which I was very shocked about. It'll take him a few days because, you know, he's a busy man. He's a busy pirate.
He is a busy pirate.
But he will get back to you. And he's got some great free information all over social media, YouTube, Instagram. Follow him, subscribe to him. After you subscribe here, go to Waleed COPE and then also go to Commerce and Chill with him and his wife and subscribe to those as well. Another resource, of course, like Investment Joy for the laundromat side, Cody Sanchez for the laundromat and the laundry delivery side, Tavemans, CLA. There's Facebook groups, laundromat Facebook groups that have a wealth of knowledge. There's a little bit of controversy that goes in there, but you gotta put your hater blockers on and take the meat and leave the bones. Some other podcasts that I would recommend. Some of my favorite podcasts when it comes to the marketing side of things, Marketing Against the Grain, Marketing Made Simple. Both HubSpot network podcasts. Even Business Made Simple is good. And some books. I got lots of resources for y'all. Some books that I would recommend. Let me think. 1 Minute Salesperson. That one's old, but it's good. And it's really short. It's like this thick. I've heard one that's on my list, but I haven't read it yet. Purple Cow.
It's good.
And I think that goes well. Yeah, I think that goes well with our industry because, laundromats, laundry, it's not sexy. It's not cool. But I feel like Purple Cow would be really great to open our minds to that. And Alex Hormozi just came out with a new book, $100 Million Leads.
Yep.
That's on my list.
It's not out yet. We're doing the interview, but it's coming out. Did you read $100 million offers?
I haven't. Listen, y'all. I'm trying so hard to get a job so I can get these books because they're not free. And I know that he sells them for like $1 on Kindle, but I don't have a Kindle. So I don't know. I might have to go to the bank of my boyfriend and ask him for a small loan.
That's right. Yes. Don't take out loans unless they're making money specifically. Come on. We learned that.
Yeah, you're right. I did learn that. But listen, I cook dinner for him. So
yeah, well, don't take a loan. Be like, hey, dude, build it over.
Right? Can I have this? Yeah, like your money is my money.
All this? You got to buy me a book every now and then, right?
Right.
I told my wife, and
that's the least I can ask for.
She has never bought me a book, so I feel like she's trying to get rid of me. I don't know. It's not gonna work. Awesome. Any other? I don't want to cut you off.
Let me think, because there are a lot of great resources out here.
I'll link to all these, by the way. So if we're going fast through them. So there'll be a link in the show notes. If you're on YouTube, they'll be down below. Links to all these things. Books, podcasts, everything.
Yes.
Waleed.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if the podcast will come out before this, but the workshop that's coming up, CLA workshop, I wish I could go to that. But like I said, I gotta get this money first. What else is coming up? Clean Show is coming up too. So definitely make sure you go to those. Go to as many events as you can go to, as many events as your little brain can hold and also your wallet can bear. And yeah, I mean, y'all can hit me up too.
Yeah, well, that's I got lots question. Of how if people want to contact you, they want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story. They have questions for you. What's the best way they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram at millionaire.madison on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can email me at madison.anderson@freshandmobile.com and we can hop on a call. I'm not going to give y'all my number here because Jordan warned me that y'all going to be blowing me up. And I don't need that. My boyfriend's going to get upset and he's going to answer the phone and say, who called him? Who called my girl? We don't need that drama.
Buy me a book. No, I get phone calls.
Exactly.
It's on him.
Exactly. So, yeah. Also, hit me. You guys. Oh, madison.anderson@freshinmobile.com.
Okay.
Yes. And Waleed also is pushing me to become a while I'm trying to find a career or while I'm trying to find my way back into the laundry industry, he has pushed me to start doing some social media management as well. So I haven't set everything up though, because I want to know how much you guys would want to pay for somebody to manage your social medias for laundromats, for laundry delivery, et cetera, et cetera. Because I'm willing to do it. I just need to know. I don't want to like throw out a pricing. I'll be like, oh no, we don't need that. And I also don't want to price myself too low to where I can't satisfy these bill collectors. DM me if you guys are interested in some social media management. I would love to help you guys out and give you guys some strategies or just manage your pages as well. Don't know the price yet. We're coming up on that. We're figuring that out. But yeah, you guys can DM me or you can email me about that. Or if you just want to talk about the laundry industry, you can hit me up via those contacts.
Madison's been awesome having you on. Thank you for sharing your story. I mean, I know that you're in the thick of it right now, but like I said, I've got no worries about you. You are going to be just fine. So hang in there, hang it tough. And man, appreciate everything that you've shared, everything that you've done. And we'll be hearing more from you again, for sure. You'll definitely be back on that podcast. I know you'll be back in the industry. So thanks again. And keep me posted on what's going on with you. Okay.
Definitely will. Thank you guys so much.
All right. I hope you love that story with Madison. I got to tell you, I did not see it going where it went. And man, I just have so much respect for Madison, not just for struggling the struggle she struggled, but also being willing to come on and share that with us. And we had a long conversation after that interview, and she just expressed to me that her desire and the reason that she came on this podcast was just to share the lessons that she's learned. And it's part of her process, right? She lost this battle, but the war is far from over from her. And I believe that 100% for her. And like I said, you might be seeing her around a little bit more in various capacities in the future. So huge thanks and shout out to Madison for coming on and sharing her story. As always, pick something and put it into action. You know, one of the themes that came up that, you know, just had me like, yes, she is going to just kill it in life, is that she was someone who was trying stuff. She's putting stuff into action. She was getting advice, podcasts from other people in the industry. She was getting that advice, putting it into action. And pick something, you specifically, pick something from this episode, whatever it might be, put it into action. None of this means anything if you don't actually take some action towards your goal. So do that. Maybe it's go to laundromatresource.com/pro and join a mastermind group. And you'll see Madison over there in the pro community also. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. Again, shout out to Madison. If you want to send her just to drop her a line of encouragement or have questions for her, anything like that, feel free to reach out to her. And we will see you next week on the podcast. Peace.